verse 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Thus far, the reading of God's Word. Again, I strongly encourage you to keep your Bibles open on your laps. Well, today is a day of remembrance, isn't it? It is a day where we remember our Savior, His broken body, His spilled blood on behalf of His church. We just had in this past week Memorial Day, a day where we remember those who paid the ultimate price, made the ultimate sacrifice for our country, for our freedom, and to protect us. Children, young people, especially high schoolers, maybe some middle schoolers, maybe you've just gone through exams or are looking forward to it this coming, maybe looking forward a little too strong, but you'll be having exams this coming week. And you have to remember a lot of things. I think it's an amazing thing that we have the ability to remember. If you think about that, up inside of our skulls, there's that organ we call the brain. And through biochemical reactions and things, somehow we have memories. We can remember stuff, whether it be to pick up a gallon of milk, whether it's your anniversary, to come to church on Sunday, whatever it is, we have the ability to remember things. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the hard drive of a computer, but a hard drive on a computer, you can see how it can remember. It's got this disk, got this thing that goes over it, and it changes things to say zeros and ones, and it's like writing a note, right? If you were to take a post-it note and write, pick up milk and stick it on your lunch pail when you go, that thing's going to help you to remember. That's kind of like a hard disk. It writes it down so it can remember it. Our brains aren't writing anything down. Somehow, the way God designed our brains, we are able to remember things. And that's important. As I mentioned with students, it's important to have memory because you're going to be examined. You need to learn. I had a student, I used to teach Bible at Zion Christian School in Byron Center. Teaching 8th grade Bible, and one of my students that year had gotten to a point in his life and epilepsy started to show up in his life. So he would go through a day, and he might get the 6th hour in the day, have a seizure, and he would forget everything he had been taught that day. It was like it was wiped off. It was blank. He couldn't learn. Well, he could learn, but it was very, very difficult. Husbands, what happens if you forget your anniversary or your wife's birthday? Remembering is important. It's important for everything, physically. We have to remember to take care of ourselves. It's important spiritually. Christ is something. But there is much in the scriptures that help us, teach us to remember. Think about this. What would happen in our lives if we visited, if we remembered, if we brought back to our mind what every Sunday sermon was about? Think about that. Think how old you are. How many years you've been coming to church, how many sermons you've heard in church. And if during the week after that sermon, you brought that sermon to mind constantly through the week. Sometimes we might call that meditation, but thinking about it, remembering it, what would that be like? Or just to remember our morning devotions, what I just read while I ate breakfast, as I went to work, as I went to school, as I went and did my daily duty. If I remembered what God said to me at that day, at that time. Or just plain remembering what Alistair Begg said on the radio as you drove into office or you drove to work that morning as you listened to Truth for Life, whatever it may be, what you learned in a Bible class, I think you get the idea. What would it be like if we actually remembered these things? Remembering is important. The Bible mentions either remembering or forgetting 302 times in the Bible. 302 times. It's telling us, reminding us, someone's being asked to remember. Remembering is important. But we forget. We forget. The reality of life is that what impacts us is what we're going to revisit and remember. Whatever we think is important for life, we are going to remember. So as husbands, we write down everywhere, my anniversary is this day, and we remember, and we make a point of remembering. We remember the things that are important to us. And so Peter, here in this passage, is coming to the church, and he's saying, I'm going to remind you to remember. I'm going to remind you to remember. Because gospel living requires that we be reminded to remember. Three things we want to look at this morning: the need to remember, what to remember, and when to remember. The need, the what, and the when to remember. Let's look at what Peter says here then in verse 12. This reason I will not be negligent to remind you, right? He's telling them, I'm not going to be negligent in reminding you, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. In the King James, it says you are established in the present truth. So he's telling them, I'm going to remind you of something you already know. Right? Even the youngest of us, we've gone to Sunday school, we know the basics of the gospel. We know the basics of salvation. We know who God is. We know who Jesus is in these things. And that's what Peter is saying. He's saying, I know you already know these things, but I'm going to remind you anyway. You're the church. I get it. You know. But I am going to continually, I am not going to be negligent in reminding you of these things because they are so important. And so he's telling us something that I think we all know and that we all probably necessarily confess to one another, is that sometimes we forget the good news. Sometimes we forget that we're Christians. Sometimes we forget what God has promised to us and told us. And so Peter is making it a point to remind the church to remember the truth. Remember who Jesus is and what he has done. But he does so for a reason. Look at what verse 13 says. Verse 13 says he's got a purpose for this. I think it right, as long as I'm in the body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Right? He's reminding the church of the gospel of Jesus Christ, probably referring to there the gospel of Mark, as he dictated the gospel to Mark, the church historians believe. And he's doing so to stir the church to action. We are reminded to remember so that we will act. And so as we go into our daily lives, as we go into the situations of life, we're called upon to be holy as God is holy, to go and be active Christians, actively living for Christ. So Peter, I'm stirring you up to remember who God is so that you will act accordingly, so that you will glorify the Lord in all that you do and enjoy him forever. And finally here in this short passage, in verse 15, he's asking us to remember promises about the future. That I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things. He's thinking about the future. Peter, I'm going to be gone, right? Peter, Jesus had taken Peter aside, you can read this in the Gospels, and told him that he was going to be crucified someday. So Peter knew the way that he would die. He's most likely sitting in a prison here, waiting for that to happen. And so he says, I'm thinking about the future. Because you will need to be reminded to remember these things in the future. Because there's going to be reasons for that. We're going to look at that in a little bit. But remembering, it produces expectations, doesn't it? Because we remember who Jesus is, what he's done, and what he expects from us. And so we have these expectations of life, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. We can go and live in confidence because we remember what he has said and done on our behalf. And we can long. We can long for that day when we can actually see him face to face in heaven. So let's look at those types of things. What I want us to do now is answer that question, what to remember. And what we're going to do is we're going to go through the scriptures, look at some different passages, and build, as it were, a small biblical theology of remembering. What does the Bible say about remembering? The first thing is to remember God's faithfulness. Turn, if you would, to Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Joshua chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. At this point in the story of Israel, they have come to the land of Canaan, and they are standing at the Jordan, and they are waiting to go and take possession of it. So I just want us to read then just a few verses, beginning with verse 6. So Joshua 4, beginning at verse 6. That this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, what do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. What he is referring to there are the standing stones. One member of each tribe was to pick up rocks, and they put them in a pile and stood them up for the exact reason of what we just read there, that they themselves and the generations to come would ask and remember the faithfulness of God. That he had taken them out of Egypt, led them through the desert, and there led them through the raging Jordan River. So that everybody who saw those things would either remember or ask what they were there for, and be reminded of God's faithfulness to his people. Another time this happened in the book of 1 Samuel. Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen and called its name Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far the Lord has helped us." So maybe that name Ebenezer sounds familiar. That idea or that sequence of events is immortalized for us, we might say, in a hymn. I can't remember it again. "Come thou fount of every blessing." One of the verses talks about raising an Ebenezer, a stone, a standing stone of remembrance, that we would remember the faithfulness of God. Now we all have Ebenezers in our life, quote unquote. Those points, those things where God was evident in our lives that have stuck in our minds, that we remember him being there. But I think as we think about, this is basic, isn't it? Yes, I know God is faithful. I know God is good. We get that, right? We remember that. I got it. Let's move on, preacher. But why did the people of Joshua's and Samuel's day need to have a reminder of standing stones someplace in the wilderness there? Remember God's faithfulness. Because they, like us, forget. We forget God's faithfulness. Failing to remember, blinded by the distress of their time, their age, the opportunity, blinded by the circumstances that they live in, whether they be rejoicing circumstances or sad circumstances. We can be blinded by those things and forget the faithfulness of our God, and we need reassurance. And so Joshua and Samuel set up standing stones to remind Israel. We're called by Peter. Remember the faithfulness of our God. Next, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 7. Here we want to look at what it is to remember my own sin. We need to remember our own sin. Deuteronomy 9, verse 7. Remember. Do not forget how you provoked the Lord your God to wrath in the wilderness. From the day that you departed from the land of Egypt until you came to this place, you have been rebellious against the Lord. Double, remember, exclamation point, do not forget. What happens when you forget your sin? Have you ever thought about that? That when we begin to develop too high of an opinion of ourselves, when we forget who we are apart from Christ, when we don't keep short accounts with God and seeking forgiveness, when we forget our sin. What happens? Well, I no longer see my need, right? I'm a pretty good guy. I can do this on my own. I can do this according to the wisdom that I have, or I can follow my will. And we forget we need the help of God for everyday living. I can do this by my own wits. I can live apart from the grace of Jesus Christ. But in the end, when we do that, when we forget our sin and we live our own way, it opens the door for bitterness, self-righteousness, depression, idolatry, and a multitude of other sufferings. They creep into our hearts and they destroy us. They eat away at us. I know several people that are just bitter to the bone, and it is killing them, literally killing them, because they forget their own sin. Self-sufficiency, life without God is a killer. And Deuteronomy 9 verse 7 is showing that, right? He's showing that because Israel forgot their sin and God's wrath was poured out against them. And a generation died without seeing the promised land because they forgot their sin. And so we need to remember our own sin before God. We need to remember that we are offending a holy and perfect eternal being. It can be literally the difference between life and death. But we don't want to stay there. We don't want to ruminate too long on that because God has also showed us His grace. And so we need to remember God's saving grace. And I want to bring to mind two different events in the history of the church that were pivotal to remembering God's grace. Exodus 12:14. This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. That is Moses writing about the day of Passover, where God came through and brought death to death, you might say, and saved His people with His mighty hand and outstretched arm. And then, much like it in the New Testament, Luke 22:19, and He, that is Jesus, took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Both of these events, pivotal in the life of the church. The Passover, where Israel was saved, and the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Both of them tied to specific meals that were to be eaten as reminders of God's grace, of His redeeming grace in the life of the church. The elements of the meal and the Passover were attached to various readings that were to remind the children, to remind the people. The food that they ate was to remind them of how God saved them. And here, this morning, as we come to this sacrament, we have food and we have sayings that remind us, as the bread is broken, as we drink the wine or the grape juice, the fruit of the vine, we're reminded by these things of what our Savior did. When we come to this sacrament, the baptismal font, and we baptize, we're reminded that just as water washes away dirt from our skin, so too the blood of Christ washes away our sins by His grace. And so we are to remember God's saving grace, and these two meals do that and help us to do that. And finally then, we are to remember the future. Remember the future. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians 4 at verse 13. This is a passage that when I do funerals and I do graveside services, that I always read at the graveside of a loved one whose body is being laid to rest. So I'm not going to read all of it, but I'm beginning at verse 13 of chapter 4. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. He then spends the next few verses explaining why we ought to have hope, and that is because Jesus is coming again, right? It's all about Jesus is coming again to judge the living and the dead. and those who are in Christ would join him in the air and be taken to be with him for eternity. And so after he gives that good news, look at verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. And this idea of comfort here, children, isn't your fluffy bed, isn't your favorite beanbag chair, isn't eating ice cream when you want to have ice cream. It's not that kind of comfort. It's the kind of comfort that reminds us who God is. And so here, Paul is writing, he says, therefore, comfort, remind one another with these words of what Jesus has promised, that he is coming again. And so the future isn't bleak. The future isn't out of control, but Christ is coming again. Another thing that sometimes when we think about the future, we think about all the dangers that are there and the unknowns and what's going to happen. We think about how we will be treated and how will we treat others. How will God receive me, a sinner? Turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 32. We're just going to skip through some various verses here. But what Jesus is here doing is telling a parable about the sheep and the goats. Children, you remember that? Sheep and the goats? Sheep and the goats, sinners, and those who are saved. And in life, we're all mixed together, right? We're walking amongst each other wherever we go. But here Jesus comes and says, look at verse 34. He's separating them like a shepherd, right? Goats go here, sheep go here, left and right. Look at verse 34 says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So we need to remember the future. We need to remember what God's plans are for you when you are united to Jesus Christ. That when you are his sheep, you will hear those words. You will be welcomed into his kingdom, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. But look what he says for others. Verse 41. And he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So remember that God will judge the righteous and the unrighteous. Verse 46. And those will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So we need to remember those promises. If you struggle with the assurance of your faith, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and these words, these promises, you will hear them and experience them to the fullest at the end. And finally, in Hebrews 10, verse 30, it says, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. See, sometimes we have that problem, don't we, that if we live in this life as those who are the righteous, called to be holy Christians, and it seems the world around us perseveres, persecutes, overruns, marginalizes the church. David often talked about these same types of things in the Psalms, where he lamented the unrighteous prospering and the righteous in the Lord falling behind as he thought. Remember the future that God has for you. We know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Those who have persecuted the church will receive what is due them for their rebellion. Now that's a lot of Bible verses to look at, right? A lot of things to think about. So why did I do that? Because I believe that these things are the foundational, basic things that we need to remember. What would our Christian lives be like if when we were tested, if we were confronted, when we're disappointed with our loved ones, with those who are around us, when we hurt? What would it be like if we remembered God's faithfulness, if I remembered my own sin against God and others, if I remembered his amazing grace that was shown to me and I did not deserve it because of myself, I am an unlovable sinner. What would it be like if I remembered that my future is secure with him forever and ever? When those trials come, when the hurt comes, when the disappointment comes. What would our lives be like if we actually, in the heat of that moment, when we have to choose to sin or not to sin, and I remember? I believe that's why Peter is writing the way that he writes. that we would remember, because remembering is hard work. And we need to be reminded in order to live well for the glory of our God. Well, finally then, let's look at when to remember. When to remember. As good Bible students, you know that there are certain times when we're told to forget things, and other times we're told to remember things. So what is it? Are we supposed to forget? Are we supposed to remember? Well, really, they're almost like two sides of a coin. Sometimes we need to forget things. For that, I want you to look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Here, Paul is talking to the church, and he's saying, look, if you want to compare credentials, if you want to compare the credentials of holy living, I've got you beat. I'm a Pharisee, baptized, a teacher and leader of the law, persecuting the church. I am a better Israelite than everybody else. But then look at verse 13. I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so Paul here is describing how we need to forget. Not to remember, to purposely forget. This is one of those things where I like to call it relabeling. Right? Because Paul can't forget. Paul can't forget that he was a Pharisee. He can't really like erase from his mind the fact that he persecuted the church and was approving and participating in the stoning death of Stephen. But nonetheless, he can take his past, and by God's grace, it can be relabeled, it can be reshaped, it can be understood differently so that he can move forward in grace. And so this man who was this holy person who was holy in himself, God turned and made him the greatest apostle of all of them. Because of the learning that he had as a Pharisee, because of his drive and his passion for holy things, he wasn't swallowed up by his past. He didn't become a hermit and go into a cave and be depressed for the rest of his life, but that spurred him on to action for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he pressed on in grace as a believer who had been chosen, saved, and called by Jesus Christ to do so. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to forget our past, not allow it to define who we are, to let those shackles fall by the way, and move on in the glory and the protection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we need to forget. Forget. Another one, Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Famous passage where Peter comes to Jesus and says, how many times do I need to forgive my brother? Times? Peter, in his mind, is thinking, I am a great man if I can forgive someone their sins for seven times. And Jesus' answer, verse 22, and Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That's a lot of forgiving. In order for you or me to forgive someone that many times, we need to forget a lot. We need to forget a lot of offense, a lot of words, a lot of harm, a lot of disappointment, and we need to forgive people. The only way we can do that is if we choose not to remember what they have done to us, just as Jesus did as he went to the cross. Children, you need to do this because mom and dad are not perfect. And so when they discipline you out of anger, you need to forgive them. You need to move beyond that because they are not perfect, and we need to develop the ability to forget what they have done to us and remember what has done for us. And one more time, above all, keeping love one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. This is one of my favorite verses as of late, maybe because initially I'm dealing with people that are having squabbles and confrontations with each other. But sometimes we just want to hang on to that one thing they said or that one thing they did. I've recently counseled with a woman who would bring up things from her about her husband that happened 30 and 40 years ago and just lob them at him like hand grenades every time they would get in an argument, just to beat him down. Love covers a multitude of sin, and for that need to forget. And finally, 1 Corinthians 13, the chapter about love, it says, keep no records of wrongs. Right? Love encourages us to forget, right? To forget those little hurts, those little digs, those little things that someone has done or failed to do. And let love cover the multitude. Remembering the beliefs, the doctrines, the truths of the Bible. Remembering the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice and His toward us. They are very important to Peter, and so he promises to remind us. The challenge then is for us to remember, to think about what is true and honorable, just and pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Remembering, of course, is something that we all do. It's an automatic thing that our minds do. But here, Peter makes a big deal to remind us to remember the good news of Jesus Christ. Because I think when we're pressed, when that person isn't standing in front of us and they're accusing us for something that we didn't do, and they're hurting us, they're saying things, when we're not getting moving forward in our relationship, when we're disappointed that this person did that thing to us, when we have the opportunity to cheat, no one will know. It's hard to remember who God is and what He has done for us. So we're reminded here to remember Jesus Christ. And by His grace, He's given us the sacraments to do that. To be reminded of what He has done on that tree so long ago for us as unlovable sinners, giving His life, being forsaken by the Father, suffering the torments of hell, so you and I can live in His grace. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that when You made us a people to remember with amazing minds. But Lord, we confess that it is sometimes difficult for us to remember Your grace in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray by that grace, remember, that as, Lord, we come to the supper now, we pray, Father, that You would help us to be reminded of Jesus Christ. We pray this in His holy name. Amen.